Moving this thing into hour number two. It's a three-hour program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. Well, I am live in Southern California. And we got a big second hour coming up. I've got Pat Forte, a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He will have his thoughts on the championship game tonight. Clearly, he's based in Kentucky. He's been a follower of Louisville and Kentucky basketball. He'll have takes on this. In fact, he wrote a pretty tough column on Cal already that I read this morning. So, Pat Forte at 10:40. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Rick in Buffalo, out of nowhere to inform us, it is now the official start of Smack-Off season. Then it's never the start of Smack-Off season until Rick says so, which is pretty rich, given that he's never won the Smack-Off.
Who loves you, baby?
You gotta love a guy. I love the arrogance and entitlement of Rick in Buffalo. He's never won a single Smack-Off, yet the actual Smack-Off season does not start until he says so. That's brass. That takes some sack. And I have no problem with it. It's not like Brad coming in. It's not like the GOAT coming in and saying, hey, it starts when I say it starts. Or even Leff, a three-time winner. Or even Silk, a one-time winner. It's from Rick, a no-time winner.
Brah.
Yeah, but at least he didn't call, right, clones? When I said I've got a legend on hold who's going to cut the line, a number of you said it better not be Silk. It better not be Silk. All right, so moving on to the big head. Despite the John Calipari to Arkansas bombshell, taking some of the shine from tonight's game and the weekend overall, it's still Purdue v. UConn for the Natty. And the Huskies, of course, are looking for the repeat. And this is the matchup that most of us wanted, the matchup that most of us expected, the matchup between the two best teams in the country, the two teams that have been on a collision course for this night, and with the two best bigs in Zach Edey and Donovan Clingan. The game opened with the defending champs, a 5.5-point favorite, but that number did move pretty quickly. Head, how you living? Here's a series of questions, Head. Get your crayon out. How are you living? What is that number right now? What do you think the game comes down to, and how are you playing it?
I'm living great, Jim. I miss you, but I'm living great out here. Yeah.
You did a great job last week, dude, for you.
Oh, thank you.
I grade on a curve for you.
Not bad fun. For the big stupid.
No, it was good to have the big stupid in the house.
Well, leaving big stupid in control.
That guy right there. Love that guy right there. Side note here, I keep seeing this UConn-Florida comparison because, as we know, they're going to be the first team since the 06-07 Florida Gators to maybe go back-to-back. Could you believe that's been 17 freaking years ago?
I hate that game, dude. I hate that game. I hate that time game. I hate that. I hate that.
I know.
I hate that. But no, it's very hard to believe that the Munster kid and that whole crew did that 17 years ago.
It's crazy there, too. But think about that run compared to this one, and I don't think it gets talked about enough. UConn lost their top three players from last year's team. That's like Chalk Donovan rebuilding his 07 team without anti-Cleveland Noah, Al Horford, and Corey Brewer, and not only that, becoming more dominant. Hurley's team is now beating opponents by an average of 25 points per game. Last season in the tournament, they beat everybody by an average of 20 points a game. That Florida beat people by about 17 points a game, so it's just incredible what Danny Hurley's done with this team here. For tonight, the big spread.
Good point, dude. Good point. Yeah. Well done. Good job. Good effort. I feel like that's a precursor to what you're about to say. Let's hear it.
Yeah, because I love NCAA tournament history. So, big spread tonight. Most power indexes have UConn about 3 points better, but the books have them higher, and it's because of that historical UConn dominance I just talked about. Get this. If they win and cover tonight, they will become the first team ever to cover 12 straight games in the NCAA tournament since the field expanded to 64 in 1985. The number is now 6.5 UConn. I want Purdue to win. They were my one future at plus 700, but I'm rolling with the Huskies and now laying the 6.5 points. Biggest worry in how you beat the Huskies. Creighton, Seton Hall, and Kansas all shot 50% from the field or better and beat them. Purdue can shoot the basketball. Also, of course, the EDV Kling Kong matchup you mentioned. My guess is Dan has Klingon play Zach straight up for most of the night. If he stays out of foul trouble, huge advantage for the Huskies. If he does get in foul trouble, the Huskies struggle with him on the bench, as we know, and the spacing will open up for Purdue, and they have knockdown shooters. But why I like UConn talent.
Let them play,
talent,
man. Let them play.
Let them play. That's what we need to do right here. UConn talent. Edie is the best player tonight, but after him, the Huskies have the next five best players, and any one of them can carry the load for them. Purdue just doesn't have the shot creators UConn does. Also, key tonight, turnovers. Purdue turned the ball over 16 times against NC State. UConn will punish you with their defense to offense more than any team in the country if they turn it over. And their great equalizer, their runs, 5, 10, hell, 28 points.
See what you did there, dude.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it, but I see what you did there.
Nobody could, you know, ground them like a Delta flight does their pass.
I see what you did again.
It's a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so...
That's UConn for you. 5, 10, 28-point runs. It's what they do, man.
Hey, I don't want to encourage you, but that really is an amazing soundbite. You have a pilot saying, we have a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the flight. It is a biohazard.
It is a biohazard.
That's kind of redundant. Way to state the obvious, Mr. Pilot. Oh, you think that's a biohazard? Some guy dripping diarrhea all the way down the aisle? You think that's a biohazard? Since when?
Unstoppable runs.
Diarrhea.
You got to ground the plane, but you can't ground UConn Huskies minus 6.5.
You're on it, dude. You're on it. Listen, nothing surprising about the matchup. They just so were clear on that. You just took UConn minus 6.5.
That's right.
But you've got, that's right, Stewie. But you've got, see, even I have it.
Jungle the Tourette's.
But you've that's got right. Purdue plus 700 on a future.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So nothing surprising about the matchup. As we talked about, these have been the two best teams in the nation for weeks. It's the matchup that we expected, the matchup we all wanted. I'm here for it. First, I do have a thought on Purdue. Nothing but respect for the way they handled some really bad tournament exits, culminating with that disaster against a 16 last year in FDU. That's the kind of loss, especially bundled with some other bad losses, that can wreck careers and programs. But Matt Painter, I thought, did a hell of a job of telling his guys, not only do you not pretend that it never happened, you fully own that it did happen, understand why it happened, and make sure it never happens ever again. In other words, they took one of the worst losses and situations ever, they converted it into some of the cleanest burning fuel ever, and here they are with a chance to win a natty. Nothing but respect for that.
For sure.
By the way, I think they've got a chance. I think they've got a chance tonight to knock off UConn with the big dude in the middle in Edie and their ability to shoot the three ball. Of course they have a chance. I just don't see it happening. I've been riding with my dude, Dan Hurley, this entire time. I will ride and die with this guy. He's a maniac. I mean that in the best way possible. I love the guy. I love the team. I love how hungry and relentless they are. I love how versatile they are. I love the roster. I feel great about them repeating. It just comes down to how do you play it against the spread? Because if you like Purdue, 6.5 head is the last number you see?
6.5, yep.
6.5 is pretty good value. And I do like Purdue, and while 6.5 is a big number, it's still not enough value for me. UConn is coming off its, quote, worst game of the tourney, and they still beat Bamba by 14. So I think that Edie will get his. But Dan Hurley and Donovan C. are not going to let this guy go for 40 and 15 tonight. I love the super frosh. Stephon Castle, I know you
love
do
him.
Too.
Love him.
I think he has another big game tonight. I think UConn's relentlessness and motion game are going to wear Purdue down like it does everybody else. I like Purdue's guards. I like them a lot. I just don't like them enough tonight. I think they have to be near perfect to get this done. I don't see them doing it against UConn. And I'll say what I said going into the weekend. There's a lot to like about Bama. They did hang in as long as they could. And there's even more to like about Purdue. But UConn's just got too much. Too much of everything. Their backcourt is big. It's athletic. It's tough. They have their own monster in the middle, and they've got the best coach in the game in Dan Hurley, who is not taking his pedal off the metal. I love UConn to repeat, and even though 6.5 is a big number, I will lay those points. I'm going to take UConn minus 6.5.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. We need to make some money tonight, Ed.
Hell yes.
Before you go, it's only one game, so what about some props?
Yeah, I got a couple here. Fletcher Loyer, Purdue guard, over 9.5 points. He hits that mark in the four tournament games. He's played over 25 minutes so far. He's capable of hitting three or four threes tonight, and he seems to play his best against better competition. He hit that over mark in 10 of 13 games against the last top 25 ranking. So I like Loyer over 9.5 points. And the guy you just mentioned, Stephon Castle, over 0.5 three-pointers. People were clowning Nate Oates.
Come on with that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I know he went a little cold for a moment, but come on with that.
Yeah, and that's why Nate Oates, you know, freaking didn't guard him out there.
Gave him some space, right.
Yeah, gave him some space, but he knocked down 2 of 6 shots. I only need one of those tonight, and I think you'll have a couple good looks tonight, so I like that. And then take the less Dan Hurley not going nowhere. Why would he leave UConn to go to anywhere else in the country? UConn is the best team this century, and it's not even close.
Is that an editorial by you, or was that an actual play somewhere?
Editorial.
Yeah,
just had to add that part. Since 1999, it's not even close. They're better than Duke. They're better than North Carolina. They're better than Kentucky. UConn is the premier basketball program in the country. Dan's not going to leave anywhere to go anywhere. Sorry.
I love that, dude. So run that down top to bottom. Well done.
Okay. UConn -6.5 v. Purdue. Fletcher Loyer over 9.5 points. And Stephon Castle over 0.5 three-pointers. And Hurley staying in stores.
And what's the over-under on Loyer jokes tonight during the game?
There's a lot of them. I made a pretty good one, but nobody liked it on Twitter.
Well, nobody likes most of your stuff on X, first of all.
Oh, on X, yep. You're right. Yeah, so it was like Purdue's got a good lawyer, and I said, so does Alabama. And
they're like, well, they're stupid, right? Good one, dude. Yeah, no wonder nobody liked that.
Correct. They called me the big stupid.
You know what? How many unfollows do you think you got for that? Never mind likes.
I got to look. Probably quite a bit. They're like, you're as stupid as... Never
the big
mind.
Stupid. Yeah. You're as stupid as the big stupid. That's why you got glossed the big stupid.
Good job. And then when, you know, I weighed in on Cal, they called me the big stupid, too.
Correct.
Well, that said, I think you're on it today, right on it. We need to make some money, Head. Let's get paid.
UConn, hell yes, let's
minus
do it.
6.5. Let's do it. Good All job, right. Head. Thank you very much. The Big Head, James Kelly. We both are on UConn -6.5, depending on what number you get. I saw it at 7 earlier this morning. He saw it at 6.5. It's kind of fluctuating. It opened at 5.5. Sometimes it's good to jump in early. Sometimes it's good to wait. How do you see that game going? It's the one we all wanted. I love UConn, clearly. 1-800-636-8686. It's a great call day. All right, so where do you come out? Kentucky, what's your reaction? You wanted this guy gone? Well, he's gone. What's your reaction? And who do you want now? Who do you think realistically you can get right now? You're not getting Dan Hurley. I agree with the Head. Why would he leave? Why would he leave for anything? But then again, I really am blown away. Like, arguably, Kentucky is the best job in the country, arguably. And if it's not the best job in the country, it's on that short list. Isn't it amazing that at the end of the coaching carousel, the arguably best job or one of the best jobs in the country is the one that's available? It's so weird and incredible. Just as it's incredible that SMU, of all places, started the carousel spinning backwards. Planet Wilson 1, Eclipse Gym. Purdue or Purdon't? That is the question. Signed, William Bighead Shakespeare. Exactly. Salty Sarah is in. I never know what to expect from Salty Sarah except immense amounts of salt. Like more salt than there is in the Morton Salt Factory, the ocean, all the salt in the world combined. Quote, Rick announcing the start of Smack Off season is like Tonya Harding announcing figure skating season. Or Billy Joel announcing NASCAR season. Now John at the bar. Hashtag make it make sense. I mean, Sarah, I see where you're going with that, but it's kind of weak for you, Sarah. Not salty enough.
Bench the salt.
Not salty enough, Sarah. You generally are way saltier than that. And then there's this guy, Borquin Mike, who thinks he's really clever, but he's not. Hey, Jim, there's a lot of money in Arkansas from what? Catfish? Opium? Casinos? Mike, are you just sitting there like proud of yourself for that? Because you shouldn't be. You're sitting there in Jacksonville, pot-shotting Arkansas and asking where the money is coming from. I don't know, the Tyson Food Empire? I mean, don't you eat Tyson frozen fried chicken like every night for dinner, Mike? Chicken nuggets, little dinosaur shapes? Isn't that what you eat every night, dude? Tyson. He's a billionaire, dude. And then you got Jerry Jones.
Done.
Owns the most expensive franchise in North America, right? What are you talking about, Mike? Sitting in the cosmopolitan that is Jacksonville. No offense, Jayville. But if your guy's going to take a run at people like that from that area code. Hey, Rome. The Eclipse is back. News to us. Signed Mitsubishi. PGA near Milwaukee, not bad. Not as good as the XR4 Ti Smack, but not bad. This guy took a big swing. I'll give it a shot. Pimp. Once upon a time, Kentucky was bawling for love. Now they need a fresh new start. Nothing but spoiled brats, total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time, Cal was the light of my life. Cal was the light of my life. But now he left BBN in the dark. Nothing for us to do. Cal's a total eclipse of the heart. Wore all those virgins lining up in the path of totality. Nate in Boston. Hey, Nate, that last line is the only thing that saved you. I mean, a fairly high degree of difficulty. I can't knock the hustle. High degree of difficulty, high degree of effort and ambition, 0 degree of execution. Listen, if you're going to roll up in here with Bonnie Tyler exes, turn your ass around and keep moving. Turn around. Hold on, Albie. Let me set you up the right way for that. If you're coming in here with Bonnie Tyler ex posts, turn around. At Mosh Pit Chad. Please tell me you are broadcasting with your Eclipse glasses on. Signed, Eclipse Kook. This guy's got an answer. At SA Sports Honk, Rome, hear us out. We got the perfect coach for Kentucky to hire. Doc Rivers, problem solved. Signed, Bucks fan.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They lost again. Doc is now 15-17 since taking over the Bucks for a guy that he mentored who got fired for going 30-13. Now, make that make sense. All right, I like it. The phones are ringing. That's pumping me up. Got a prize pick coming up next hour. Alvie. Oh, wait, is it now, Alvie? Or next hour. Or next hour. We'll see. You never know with Alvie. Alvie's kind of hard to nail down. All right, phone lines jammed. I love it. Phone calls coming up. Pat Forty coming up. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. With over 3 million active members, all you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Playoffs begin April 20th. The play-in round, April 16th, 17th, 19th. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Prize Picks offering Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. Download the app right now. Use my code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Alvin DeLauro, are you ready to share one with us?
Hey, Jim. It's
hey,
good to be
Alvin.
Back. Okay, I got three today. I'm going to go Cam Spencer. I think that was one of the guys James was talking about earlier. More than 14 points. I'm gonna go baseball. Shohei Ohtani. More than 1.5 total bases. And bonus, I'm going to take the free square that Prize Picks is offering. It's Justin Gaethje. You got to wait till Saturday, though, but if you put it in now, it's half a significant strike. So all you have to do is get one strike in. Can't go wrong with that.
Hit one of the biggest bombers in the sport, if he just lands one punch, one strike.
This has to get more than a half a strike, so.
All right, so give it to me again. Your three picks.
Cam Spencer, more than 14 points. Shohei Ohtani, more than 1.5 total bases. And Justin Gaethje, more than a half a significant strike.
Got it. Love it, Alvin. Nice job. I'm going to hit that. Alvin, back in the house with his Prize Picks, and he gave you three. Jump in on that. I'm going to do it right now myself, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I've given you my thoughts on John Calipari bouncing for Arkansas. Giving you my thoughts on Kentucky having to replace him. Giving you my thoughts on the championship game. Now I'm looking for your thoughts. Let's get at it. 1-800-636-8686. Back to Lex Vegas. Lexington, Kentucky. Ross, good to have you. Ross, how are you?
Hey, Jim. It's good to talk to you again. I think Cal will probably kill it in Arkansas. I really do, because he's motivated now, and that's when he's at his best. He feels like everybody's against him, so he's probably going to do really well down there. And he's a good guy. Wish the best for him. But, man, we've had a whole lot of pros. You can turn on any NBA game or any night, and it's all Kentucky guys, and we have one title in 15 years. And we haven't been to a Final Four since 2015, so – you know, I just think it was best for everybody involved. And now I'm ready for Rick to come back. And, it would be a perfect ending to his career, as good as he was here. He could come here for the next 3-5 years, retire. He'd be motivated. Plenty of good Italian restaurants that he could open up. So that's my vote. Out.
I like it. Nice job, Ross. Thank you very much. I think what you said about Cal is fair. You know, the BBN's saying, well, look, yes, we have all these guys in the NBA. Cal was very proud of that and should be. There are nothing but Wildcat players all over the NBA. Like, if you want to get to the NBA, he could clearly walk into any house and say, hey, do you want to play in the NBA? Because what player that he'd walk into a house to talk to would answer anything other than, I want to play in the NBA? Do you want to play in the NBA? Yeah, well, I can get you to the NBA. And he can, and he did. However, in recent years, that did not translate into tournament victories. So if you're a member of the BBN, you don't want to go play in the NBA because you don't even play basketball. You're a fan of the program. You want to win the tournament. You want to win championships. You want to contend for championships. And in recent years, Cal kept getting NBA-type prospects but was not winning in the tournament. So I could see where he got upset. But you're also right. I think that Cal is at his best when his back is to the wall, when he's motivated, when he's got that mission, and I think that he's going to hit reset. And, I mean, look, he decided to stay in the SEC. He's going to Arkansas. He knows he has to come back in that building. He knows. So he's going to dig deep, and I think that he's going to want to write one last chapter and add to the legacy. In terms of Rick Pitino, you said, give me Pitino back. He'll come in. It'll be a great way for him to end his career. You'll get 3 to 5 good years. My argument against that, and I think Pitino has done an amazing job at St. John's. I'm amazed of that guy's energy at 71. We already know about his acumen, but I'm amazed that he still has that energy. But do you really want a bridge guy? Do you really want a gap guy? I understand that the pressure cooker that is Kentucky chews people up. It's amazing to me that Cal lasted 15 years. But do you really want a guy for 3 years or 5 years? No, you want somebody to come in and rebuild that thing. So I would say that does not make sense at this point. Rick is back home, man. He's back in New York. He's at St. John's. He's got a good thing going. I think that it's not the best fit. And that's nothing against Pitino. That's not ageism. I just think you want somebody to lay down some roots who's going to be there for a little while. Hey, Kentucky fan, who do you want? Where do you come out? That guy answered my question. Who do I want? I want Rick Pitino. 1-800-636-8686. If I'm Kentucky, I start with Danny Hurley. I go to Jay Wright. I go to Nate Oates. Or I go to the Munster Kid. In fact, I go to the Munster Kid first. And I doubt that he's going to want to come back to the college game. But again, he's got ties to the program. He worked under Pitino. He was a great college coach. But he's in the NBA. He's a great coach. He's right now in line for like a play-in shot. Would he give all that up to come back and play coach college? Things are not amazing in Chicago. The Bulls are looking at a play-in. Might he jump? I'd definitely make that phone call. You know, so if you look at him over the last 4 years with Chicago, the Munster Kid, he's been over 500 only once. So I make that call. That would be my third call. I'd go Dan Hurley. I'd go Jay Wright. I'd go Munster Kid. And then I go Nate Oates. And then Scott Drew is going to end up in the mix there somewhere. Who do you want, Kentucky? Hit me up. Let me know. Coming up, speaking of Kentucky, not Kentucky, Kentucky, but Louisville. Pat Kelsey is their head coach. He joins me at 11 o'clock Pacific time, straight up. On the other side of this break, Pat Forty will join me. Do not hang up. If you're on hold, I'm going to get you in. If it's a good phone call. Maybe even before the interview. So if you're on hold, stay there. Apparently, we've had the official start to smack off season. How do I know? Rick in Buffalo said so. He called earlier with a great call. Here is your sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. A ton of college basketball news, obviously. You've got the Natty tonight. You've got John Calipari on the move. Kentucky with a major void to fill. Who better to talk to on all these topics than a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, the co-host of the College Basketball Inquirer podcast. He joins us from Glendale, Arizona. So he's right in the middle of all this. It is the site of the Final Four in tonight's NCAA championship game. Of course, I'm talking about Pat Forty. Pat, always great to talk to you. What's going on, Pat? How are you?
Doing well, Jim. Good to hear your voice as well. Good
to you too, Pat. Appreciate it. I love talking to you before that game. We always do this. But before we talk about the game, I've got to get your reaction to that bombshell that dropped, that John Calipari reportedly leaving Kentucky and finalizing a deal to become head coach at Arkansas. What is your reaction to him not only leaving, but staying in the SEC?
Yeah, it is a bombshell, that's for sure. Did not necessarily see it coming, but ultimately it was a signal that the relationship between Calipari and Kentucky was over. It was broken, and it was a signal that he doesn't think that he can rebuild it. He doesn't think he has the ability to fix that program. That basically he chickened out and took the chicken money, the Tyson chicken money, and left town. So a pretty big comeuppance for a guy who's probably the cockiest coach in college basketball. Now, where Kentucky goes, that's going to be fascinating because there's nobody that's a slam dunk hire there. I think they'll have plenty of interest, obviously, from A-list kind of candidates. I would keep an eye on Scott Drew from Baylor. There's several within the SEC who might have interest in the job. We'll see if Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, has interest in them. Maybe Billy Donovan is ready to come back to college basketball. But I think also Mitch Barnhart probably owes it to himself and to the fan base to at least try to have a conversation with Danny Hurley, who right now is the best coach in college basketball.
We're talking to Pat Forty, so lots of good stuff there, Pat. When you talk about that John Calipari ultimately decided, like, you know what, man, I can't fix it. It's broken. I can't fix it. Why do you think that he was unable to fix it? And then why would he fare better in Arkansas?
I'm not sure he will fare better, frankly. Yeah. We'll see. That it gives him a chance to reset, acknowledge some of the mistakes he's made in terms of roster building, and kind of start over there. But, you know, I think the biggest thing probably at Kentucky was his teams were too young in an era where old teams win. You know, Anthony Davis in 2012 won him a national title as a freshman. People thought that was going to be the way, and it turned out it was a blip. It turned out Anthony Davis was just that good. And since then, it just really hasn't been done. So his teams were too young. He didn't do great work in the transfer portal. And frankly, his coaching is just not good enough unless he has overwhelming talent. So if you give him overwhelming talent, he's dangerous. If you don't, he's just another basketball coach.
Pat Forte joining us. Pat, one last thought on Cal. Do you think that he can change at this point in his life? Like, to the point, I mean, he did say, we need to get older. And to your point, he did not do that well in the portal, but, you know, he recruited so well getting young players. Do you think that he can make the changes he needs to make?
I mean, I'll give him a chance. You know, he's going to be able to get players. Can he get the right mix of them? Can he get the right mix of veterans and still bringing in some of the great high school talent? You know, as long as if you have players, you'll have a chance. But he's got to show that he's willing to kind of blow up what has been his model and approach it differently. And in his 60s, a very stubborn guy. We'll see if he can swallow his pride a little and do things differently.
Pat Forte joining us. All right, Pat, what about the game tonight? You've got UConn, who had run over everybody en route to their Final Four matchup with Alabama. They finally faced their alleged first real challenge, and yet they still beat Bama by 14. I mean, watching Saturday, did you ever think the Huskies were in any serious trouble?
Well, the fact that Alabama hung around for 38 minutes did surprise me, you know, before they finally cracked. So, that, you know, was a little bit longer of a struggle before the, you know, trademark UConn knockout blow. And then there it came. And, you know, the final score looked like all the rest of them, even though the game was a little bit more competitive. So, you know, I think the big blows from the runs from UConn are kind of inevitable. And it's just a matter of can you withstand them. Alabama did a good job of that. And we'll see if Purdue can do a similar job of it. They're just going to have to play a great game and maybe have UConn, you know, not be on top of its game.
I was going to say, do they have to play a perfect game or a near perfect game to beat UConn?
Pretty close, I think. They've got to not turn over the ball. They're going to have to obviously make a lot of shots. You know, it's not just going to be Edie. I think they need some people to hit some big perimeter shots as well, which they did have happen against North Carolina State. They made 10 threes. If they can make 10 or more threes, but turn the ball over far less, which that was a big problem against NC State. They had 16 turnovers, and that's a very high number for them. And that's been Matt Painter's just has harped constantly. If we take care of the basketball, we can win games. And especially against a UConn team that turns turnovers into dunks and threes in transition to the other end, you just can't do that. You're going to get buried.
God, no chance. They turn the ball over 16 times tonight. They get run out of the gym. You know, clearly the big man, Pat, still matters, at least in college basketball. And we've got that incredible matchup tonight between the soon-to-be two-time player of the year and Zach Edey, UConn big man Donovan Clingan, who's an absolute monster in and of himself. Who do you give the edge to in that matchup? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, you know, nobody has been able to literally look Zach Edey in the eye, and Clingan comes as close as anybody at 7'2". So you need to keep Clingan out of foul trouble. But even then, I mean, UConn has depth at center with Samson Johnson. But, you know, Edey is just so good at dictating the terms of the game to everyone. You know, he gets position. He doesn't foul. He turns and scores. He rebounds. He's just, you know, he is going to be the one thing, you know, that UConn will have to obviously be hyper vigilant against, and I just don't know how much there is you can do. But if he scores 35 and nobody else is doing anything and you're putting up 70, 75, 80, then this thing's going to end the way we are customarily seeing it. But Clingan can be a little bit passive at times, so when he steps up and plays like the 7'2" guy he is, then he's a real force. But he's going to have to be feeling very aggressive all game.
We were talking to Pat Forty for a few more moments. So, Pat, UConn, it's kind of hard to imagine, and then it's kind of not. I say it's kind of hard to imagine because you think about Storrs, Connecticut, but then when you think about the program, they're playing for their sixth national title game tonight, all since 1999. If they can rip another natty and go back-to-back, where would you slot the Huskies then among the bluest of the blue blood programs?
Well, they'd certainly be in that company for sure. This would be... They would be the program of the last quarter century for sure. Forget Duke, forget North Carolina. It would be them. And I think, you win six titles all the time. That's ahead of a lot of places. That's ahead of Kansas. Michigan State anywhere near that. It's just Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, and then UConn would be in that mix. So they deserve blue blood status without question, without reservation, and they should have it already. But for those people that are still holding out and thinking maybe they don't belong in that group, they do.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Absolutely they do. So before you go, you know Louisville basketball as well, Pat, as anybody, dating back to your time writing for the Louisville Courier-Journal and you making your home there. I'm curious. I'm going to have Pat Kelsey on next segment. Where do you come out on that hire, and do you think he's the right person to lead Louisville back to national prominence?
Well, the biggest thing he's going to do is inject a whole new energy. Kenny Payne was in over his head, never really grasped the job. Pat Kelsey will, and he will attack it, and, they're going to be better right away. How much better? Should be a lot, but how good can they be? I don't know. It's a whole different era of team building. He's done a lot of transfer work in his days, but you're not looking for D2 transfers and JUCO transfers as much at Louisville. You're looking for high major transfers if you want to be competitive. So he's going to have to, I think, alter his recruiting a little bit, but I certainly give him a chance to get Louisville back to contender status.
Hey, Pat, one last stop before you go. I'm looking at the women's game, and when you look at the record TV ratings generated by the women's tournament this year, I'm curious, do you expect that growth to continue? Is it sustainable with Caitlin Clark's brilliant college career coming to an end yesterday? What now?
I think that's TBD. Let's wait and see. She was such a once-in-a-generation talent that she brought eyeballs to the TVs like nobody ever has in that sport. And she was just such a spectacular player. Is there another one of those coming? Juju Wyke is obviously at USC, looks like a great talent. Paige Beckers is coming back at UConn. South Carolina is just kind of a regenerative juggernaut. So there's reasons to be interested in the women's game still, for sure. It's a good product. It's gotten much, much better in the last couple of decades. But do they have that transcendent star that make people into an appointment viewers? I don't know. I think we just got to wait and see what the numbers reveal.
He is in Glendale, Arizona. Big night tonight. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the College Basketball Inquirer podcast, good friend of the program. He is Pat Forty. Pat, I know you got a million things going on today. Thanks for making time for us, and great to get caught up with you.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you. Pat Forty joining us. All right, so Pat with some choice statements about John Calipari that he, quote, chickened out to take the chicken money in Arkansas. And that, frankly, he said he left because he did not have the answers and did not know how to fix what was broken. And then chickened out to take the chicken money. But it is amazing that he's staying in the SEC, so he's going to be right there. They're going to go head-to-head. They're going to knock heads. It is going to get really, really spicy. So as we reset and get ready for hour number three, top of the hour, the aforementioned Pat Kelsey, the new head coach at Louisville, will be joining us. After that, on the other side of that, plenty of time. What do you make of all of this? Hogs fans, what do you make of Cal coming in? Kentucky fan, what do you make of Cal going out? Who do you want to replace him? Who do you think you can get? Hey, where are you Trojans fans? Emus is back in SoCal. He will be my guest on the Jim Rome podcast this week. Trojan fan, did you get ready to go into the Big Ten? How do you feel about that? I'm going to say you got the right guy. And as you might imagine, on Friday, last Friday, Musk shows up and dominates his presser, as he would be expected to do. USC is happy about that, and they should be. And again, I'm just blown away by the whole carousel. The carousel spinning backwards where the last job remaining is arguably the best job remaining, Kentucky. And that the first domino to fall that started this whole thing spinning backwards was SMU of all places. It's wild. And then what about tonight? Who do you have? How are you going to play that game? You can talk about that game straight up. If you want to dig in and talk about the game ATS, you can do that. The Big Head and I already had a Big Head Bet segment at the top of hour number two, and he and I both are taking UConn and laying the points. Nothing against Purdue. In fact, I gave them a lot of respect. The fact that they bounced back after that horrific loss in the first round to FDU last year, a 16, after all those other horrible losses, says a lot about the coach, the players, the program. I give Purdue a hell of a lot of credit. Just UConn's too much. They're just too much. And if Purdue does not take care of the ball, and if Purdue can't knock in their threes, they'll get run out of the gym. Yeah, it's the whole thing about Alabama. Man, that was close. Man, they gave them a run for the money. Man, they gave them all they could handle. They got beat by 14. The hell is everybody talking about? Like, that's where the bar is right now. UConn only won by 14. Bama was still in that game for 30-some-odd minutes. Like, why not just give them a strap? They lost by 14. It was a double-digit defeat. I mean, come on now. I'm also looking for your ATPs. We'll have that this hour. They never got closer than 8 in the last 8 minutes. Why was this fingernail-biting time? It wasn't. Nobody in UConn freaked out. I love their guards. You know, so much is made of the big dude in the middle, understandably. I love their guards. I love their size. I love their athleticism. I love how relentless the entire team is. I love that they take on the personality of their head coach. To James Kelly's point earlier, man, they lost some key guys last year. Not only did it not matter, they're better. They got better. All right, so you have your telephone number. You know where to find me on X. You know where to find me via email. And when we come back, the new head coach at Louisville, Pat Kelsey, joins us. Stay tuned.